You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University on Burnaby Mountain.
Beep, 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 beep.
Transmitting from Zucchini Land, it's Steve, Jack, and Sam, the Zucchini Brothers, live at the clubhouse. Beep, 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 beep.
Let's all get together, have a little fun. Ow! Let's all get together, dance under the sun. Shake your head and body round, everybody must get down. Shake your head and body round, everybody must get down.
Get down on the radio, in the clubhouse, with the Zucchini Brothers. Yeah, going to different places, doing different things. Yeah, with all our
amidst the autumn rain, the first bold leaves begin to brighten into the red and golden hues of autumn here in Zucchini Land, where reality steps aside, opening the door to one's imagination, where seasons change from week to week with the promise of new adventure, where hopes and dreams dance with the magic of music. It is here that we find the Zucchini Brothers, Jack, Steve, and Sam, with their dog Polly and their friend Susan on the front porch of the clubhouse. It's story day.
I love to sit out here and watch the rainfall.
The sound is so soothing, like a lullaby.
Great time to listen to a story. Wonder if Steve's found one yet. Yeah. Any luck, Steve?
Yeah. Here's one written by Janelle Cannon and read by David Holt. Ooh. And it's called Stella Luna.
Let's give it a listen.
Story time, story time, story time, story time.
Forest, far, far away, there once lived a mother fruit bat and her new baby. Oh, how mother bat loved her soft, tiny baby. I'll name you Stella Luna, she crooned. Each night, mother bat would carry Stella Luna clutched to her breast as she flew out to search for food. One night, as Mother Bat followed the heavy scent of ripe fruit, an owl spied her. On silent wings, the powerful bird swooped down upon the bats. Dodging and shrieking, Mother Bat tried to escape, but the owl struck again and again, knocking Stella Luna into the air. Her baby wings were as limp and useless as wet paper. Down, down she went, faster and faster into the forest below. The dark, leafy tangle of branches caught Stella Luna's tiny feet. Wrapping her wings about her, she clutched the thin branch, trembling with cold and fear. Mother, Stella Luna squeaked, where are you? By daybreak, the baby bat could hold on no longer. Down, down, again she dropped. Thump! Stella Luna landed head first in a soft, downy nest, startling three baby birds who lived there. Stella Luna quickly clambered from the nest and hung out of sight below it. She listened to the babble of the three birds.
"What was that?" cried Flap. "I don't know, but it's hanging by its feet," chirped Flitter. "Shh, here comes Mama," hissed Pip.
Many, many times that day, Mama Bird flew away, always returning with food for her babies. Stella Luna was terribly hungry, but not for the crawly things Mama Bird brought. Finally, though, the little bat could bear it no longer. She climbed into the nest, closed her eyes, and opened her mouth. Plop! In dropped a big green grasshopper. Stella Luna learned to be like the birds. She stayed awake all day and slept at night. She ate bugs, even though they tasted awful. Her bat ways were quickly disappearing, except for one thing. Stella Luna still liked to sleep hanging by her feet. Once, when Mama was away, the curious baby birds decided to try it too. When Mama Bird came home, she saw 8 tiny feet gripping the edge of the nest.
"Eek!" she cried. "Get back up here this instant. You're going to fall and break your necks."
The birds clambered back into the nest, but Mama Bird stopped Stella Luna.
"You are teaching my children to do bad things. I will not let you back into this nest unless you promise to obey all the rules of this house."
Stella Luna promised. She ate bugs without making faces. She slept in the nest at night, and she didn't hang by her feet. Stella Luna behaved as a good bird should. All the babies grew quickly. Soon the nest became crowded. Mama Bird told them it was time to learn to fly. One by one, Pip, Flitter, Flap, and Stella Luna jumped from the nest. "Their wings worked. I'm just like them," thought Stella Luna. "I can fly too." Flitter and Flap landed gracefully on a branch. Stella Luna tried to do the same.
"I will fly all day," Stella Luna told herself. "Then no one will see how clumsy I am."
The next day, Pip, Flitter, Flap, and Stella Luna went flying far from home. They flew for hours exercising their new wings.
"The sun is setting," warned Flitter. "We better go home or we'll get lost in the dark," said Flap.
But Stella Luna had flown far ahead and was nowhere to be seen. The three anxious birds went home without her. All alone, Stella Luna flew and flew until her wings ached and she dropped into a tree.
"I promise not to hang by my feet," Stella Luna sighed.
So she hung by her thumbs and soon fell asleep. She didn't hear the soft sound of wings coming near.
"Hey," a loud voice said, "why are you hanging upside down?"
Stella Luna's eyes opened wide. She saw a most peculiar face.
"I'm not upside down. You are," Stella Luna said. "Oh, but you're a bat. Bats hang by their feet. You're hanging by your thumbs, so that makes you upside down," the creature said. "I'm a bat. I'm hanging by my feet. That makes me right side up."
Stella Luna was confused.
"Mama Bird told me I was upside down. She said I was wrong." "Well, wrong for a bird, maybe, but not for a bat."
More bats gathered around to see the strange young bat who behaved like a bird. Stella Luna told them her story.
"You ate bugs?" stuttered one.
"You slept at night?" gasped another.
"How very strange," they all murmured. "Wait, wait. Let me look at this child."
A bat pushed through the crowd.
"An owl attacked you she asked. Sniffing Stella Luna's fur, she whispered, "You are Stella Luna. You are my baby." "You escaped the owl?" cried Stella Luna. "You survived?" "Yes," said Mother Bat as she wrapped her wings around Stella Luna. "Come with me, and I'll show you where to find the most delicious fruit. You'll never have to eat another bug as long as you live." But it's nighttime," Stella Luna squeaked. "We can't fly in the dark or we'll crash into trees." "We're bats," said Mother Bat. "We can see in darkness. Come with us." Stella Luna was afraid, but she let go of the tree and dropped into the deep blue sky. Stella Luna could see. She felt as though rays of light shone from her eyes. She was able to see everything in her path. Soon the bats found a mango tree, and Stella Luna ate as much of the fruit as she could hold. "I'll never eat another bug as long as I live," cheered Stella Luna as she stuffed herself full. "I must tell Pip, Flitter, and Flap." The next day, Stella Luna went to visit the birds. "Come with me and meet my bat family," said Stella Luna. "Okay, let's go," agreed Pip. "They hang by their feet, and they fly at night, and they eat the best food in the world," Stella Luna explained to the birds on the way. As the birds flew among the bats, Flap said, "I feel upside down here." So the birds hung by their feet. "Wait until dark," Stella Luna said excitedly. "We will fly at night." When night came, Stella Luna flew away. Pip, Flitter, and Flap leapt from the tree to follow her. "I can't see a thing," yelled Pip. "Neither can I," howled Flitter. "Aye!" shrieked Flap. "They're going to crash," gasped Stella Luna. "I must rescue them." Stella Luna swooped about, grabbing her friends in the air. She lifted them to a tree, and the birds grasped a branch. Stella Luna hung from the limb above them. "We're safe," said Stella Luna. Then she sighed. "I wish you could see in the dark, too."
"We wish you could land on your feet," Flitter replied. Pip and Flap nodded.
They perched in silence for a long time.
"How can we be so different and feel so much alike?" mused Flitter. "And how can we feel so different and be so much alike?" wondered Pip. "I think it's quite a mystery," Flap chirped.
"I agree," said Stella Luna, "but we're friends, and that's a fact."
We just heard Stella Luna read by David Holt.
And we're all listening to the Zucchini Brothers live at the clubhouse.
Hey, Jack, what's your dog doing out in the rain?
Besides getting wet.
And muddy.
She's probably burying tennis balls.
Here, Polly! Here, Polly!
Oh, here she
Polly.
Is.
Oh, here she is.
Whoa!
Polly! Oh, Polly!
Sorry, everyone. Oh. I'm going to get a towel and dry Polly off.
Okay, I guess it's time for another story.
Here's one from Jim Weiss called Fool's Gold.
This is an old Jewish folk tale from the middle of Europe. But it has nothing to do with religion. That is, unless you believe, as I do, that laughter is a form of prayer. I call it fool's gold. The story began a long time ago in an Eastern European city. A very worried man was walking along the street, and he was talking to himself out loud. "What am I going to do? We're almost out of money. I've lost my job, and And how am I going to feed my wife and our children? And where will our rent money come from? He cast his eyes upward, and he said, "Oh, I could use some help right now." Just then, he turned a corner in the street, and perhaps because his eyes were upward instead of down on the street, he tripped over something. Oh, what's that? Gee, look at that. Somebody left a big bag of something sitting here in the middle of the sidewalk. A person could trip and break his neck. I better move that before somebody gets hurt. He picked up the bag. Gee, this is heavy. I wonder what's in it. He opened the top. It's gold. Gold coins. I've never seen so much gold in my life. He glanced each way up and down the street, but he saw no one. So he quickly shut the bag, shoved it inside his shirt and closed his jacket, and then he rushed home. Once he got there, he shut the door tight and shuttered the windows. And then he poured the contents of the bag, all the golden coins, like a shower of gold, down onto his table. Look at all this gold. I'll count it. 1, 2, 3, and a little while later, 48, 49, 50, 51, and there was still a long way to go, 72, 73, 74, and at last, 99, 100 pieces of gold. I'm rich. We could live for 5 years on this. No more worries about how we're going to pay our rent or where the food comes from. We can start our own little business now. I've got to go find my best friend and tell him all about my good fortune. And he swept the gold coins back into the bag and hid the bag in his dresser. Then he rushed off to find his best friend. When he did, his friend turned to him with a big grin. And before the poor man could say anything, his friend said, "Hey, did you hear the news about the rich man? You know the one, I mean, the one that owns half the town and charges too much for everything." "Yeah, of course I know who he is. What about him?" "Well, on the way to the bank this morning, he lost a bag of gold. Do you believe it? A whole bag of gold. Serves him right, the cheapskate. Why, I would love to find that bag of gold. He's even offering a reward. Can you imagine?" No, I can't imagine. I'll see you later." And the man began to walk up and down the streets again, talking to himself. It was one thing to keep the bag when I didn't know to whom it belonged, but it's his. I have to give it back. No. He doesn't need it. He has so much gold he doesn't know what to do with it, and we would starve without it. I've got to keep it. No, that's not right. But we really need it. He argued with himself for hours, and at last, because he was an honest man, he went back and got the gold. 2 minutes later, he was in the living room of the rich man, and the rich man came rushing in. "My gold! You found it!" "Well, yes. Here it is. There are 100 pieces of gold. Let me count for myself. 1, 2... He never said thank you. 5, 6, 7... The man was counting, and all the time he was counting, he was thinking, "This man is a fool to return the gold. Why, if I found it, I'd never give it back. He deserves nothing. Certainly no reward for his foolishness. How can I trick him out of it? I'll think of something. 97, 98, 99, 100. "Yes, sir, that's what I said. 100 pieces of gold. That's what's in the bag." "Thief? What? Thief, you thief! You have all the nerve in the world! There were 200 pieces of gold in this bag. You have all the gold to bring me only half of it back and then ask for a reward for what you've stolen? But I swear to you, there were only 100. You liar!" They argued back and forth, and finally the poor man said to him, "Listen, let's go see the rabbi. He'll know what to do." Now the rabbi was the wisest man in the whole town. And so that's where they ended up. Even the rich man had to go along with that suggestion. The rabbi was a tiny little old man, so tiny that when he sat back on his chair, his feet didn't touch the floor. And he had snow-white hair and eyebrows and mustache and snow-white beard that reached to his waist. And when he was thinking very hard, he nodded forward and backward in his chair and raised his eyebrows. And, oh, he was thinking very hard right now, listening to these two men's stories.
"Now you tell me again," said the rabbi, "how many pieces of gold you found?"
"I swear to you, rabbi, there were only 100.
But you tell me there were how many in your bag?
There were 200, Rabbi, 200 pieces of gold. This man is a thief.
Wait, I will determine this. Let me think. Repeat it again. I'm very old. My mind is not what it once was.
Actually, his mind was very sharp. He was stalling because he didn't know what to decide. At last, he had heard the story a dozen different ways from the two of them, and he said,
all right, let me think, let me think.
And this is what he thought.
This poor man, he is a very good man. I have seen him, even when he has very little for himself, share it with those even worse off than he is.
But this rich one over here, what does he care about giving? He gives only when everyone sees, when he can be applauded for giving, when someone will put his name on a plaque on the wall somewhere.
Then he spoke out loud. He turned to the poor man and he said,
tell me, one last time, how many gold coins?
There were 100, Rabbi. Only 100.
And you?
He said to the rich man.
Your bag had in it how many?
I told you, Rabbi, so many times. There were 200 pieces of gold.
Oh, 200. Well, you'll be happy to know I believe you.
Of course you believe me. It's true.
Yes, it's true.
And turning to the poor man, he said,
but since this bag of gold has in it only 100 coins, it can't be the same bag he lost. So here, you take it.
So the rich man went home poorer, and the poor man went home rich and happy.
We just heard a story from Jim Weiss called Fool's Gold.
Oh, clubhouse phone.
I got it. Zucchini Brothers Clubhouse, Steve speaking.
Hello to you on the phone. This is Mr. Yakety Yak, and I'm not alone. I'm just calling with a question. Something to find out. I just want to know what you're really all about.
How do you mean, Mr. Yakety Yak?
What kind of cat are you, Steve Zucchini?
Actually, I'm not a cat. I'm a human being.
Well, I know you're a person, but my inquiry is not about that. How about a song from Billy Jonas about being a cat? Yeah!
What kind of cat hangs out in your house?
House cat.
What kind of cat hangs out in the alley?
Alley cat.
What kind of cat is a chocolate candy bar?
Kitty cat.
Yeah, what kind of cat are you? What kind of cat are you? Tell me true. What kind of cat are you? I'll give you those clues. What kind of cat are you? Gets harder. Put on your thinking cap. What kind of cat has the first name of Tom?
Tomcat.
What kind of cat is really, really scared?
Scared cat.
What kind of cat hangs out at the coffee shop?
Coffee cat.
What kind of cat is actually a fish?
Fish cat.
What kind of cat steals things at night?
Cat burglar.
What kind of cat hangs out with Batman?
Robin.
No, Robin is a bird.
Cat woman.
Yeah. What kind of cat has a thousand legs?
Caterpillar.
What kind of cat is a big expensive car?
Cadillac.
What kind of cat are you? What kind of cat are you? Tell me true. What kind of cat are you? I'll give you the clues. What kind of cat are you? Two finger clap. Put on your thinking cap. What kind of cat is a great big disaster?
Catastrophe.
catastrophe.
What kind of cat is an even bigger disaster?
Cataclysm.
What kind of cat rhymes with that and is a long religious recitation?
Catechism.
What kind of cat is connected to the engineer car?
Catalytic converter.
Uh-huh. What kind of cat facilitates a chemical reaction?
Catalyst.
What kind of cat is a group of things that are similar?
Categories.
What kind of cat comes in the mail from Sears?
Catalog.
Yep. And what kind of cat is a whole bunch of cows?
Cattle.
Yeah, what kind of cat are you? What kind of cat are you? Tell me true. What kind of cat are you? I'll give you those clues. What kind of cat are you? Two finger clap. Put on your thinking cap. What kind of cat throws stuff over the wall of a castle?
Catapult.
What kind of cat is tunnels under the castle?
Catacomb.
What kind of cat floats on two pontoons?
Catamaran.
And what kind of cat takes a picture of the inside of your body?
Cat scan.
Yeah.
What kind of cat obscures your vision?
Cataracts.
What kind of cat's being followed by a moon shadow?
Cat's even.
What kind of cat is the capital of Nepal?
Kathmandu.
Yeah. And what kind of cat carries your golf clubs?
Caddy.
Woo. What kind of cat are you? What kind of cat are you? Tell me true. What kind of cat are you? I'll give you those clues. What kind of cat are you? That's all my clues. The song is through.
Show. We'd like to say hello to you if you listen to us on stations like
WAMF in Oswego, New York.
Hello!
If you'd like any information about the Zucchini Brothers, our concerts, our products, or anything you've heard on this show, or just to say hello, you can always go to www.zucchinibrothers.com. That's one word, and it's spelled Z-U-C-C-H-I-N-I-B-R-O-T-H-E-R-S. Keep those emails coming, and look for show number
1,285.
The Zucchini Brothers Live at the Clubhouse is produced, recorded, and edited by Sam Zucchini, and written by Jack Zucchini, Susan Meyer, and Sam Zucchini. The Clubhouse music librarian is Steve Zucchini. This show is a presentation of Zucchini Productions.
Let's sing it.
Sweaters and cheese, sweaters and cheese, sweaters and cheese and fudge.
CJSF 90.1 FM wishes you a bright winter solstice.